Welcome to Two Titans and a Hunter, a Destiny 2 podcast. A show where we discuss tips, tricks and tools to help all Guardians succeed and enjoy playing more. What makes us different? Well, we're not streamers or YouTubers. We just have a passion for Destiny and are dedicated to keeping Guardians informed and up to date with all the latest Destiny 2 news, information and opinions. We encourage your questions and feedback, and you can contact us either by email, twotitansandahunter@hotmail.com, or on Twitter at @twotitans_hunter. Now, on with the show. This week, I am joined by a Titan brother from another mother. Yes, I'm talking about the one and only Parody. And I am also joined by... Nope, he's definitely on holiday. It's just me and the Titan bro. So, with just the two of us here, it's up to us to detail everything that's going on in the world of Destiny this week. So, let's get into it.
Do you want to start or should I start?
Yeah, you can start if you like, and then I'll jump in.
Sure. All right, so sandbox changes in the patch 2.2.0 we went over last week. We'll put a link to last week's show in the notes, but we won't bore you with going all over all those again. There are a few additional notes to take note of. The Chaperone is now a 70 RPM. It's up from 60 RPMs. The Tractor Cannon is 80 RPMs. The tooltip erroneously stated it was 84 previously. The Legend of Acrius is now 55 RPMs, up from 45. So all those guns have been either buffed a little bit, or you could call the Tractor Cannon a nerf, but really it was just an incorrect note telling you what speed it worked at. Didn't actually change at all. And we're going to put a link to Fallout Play's shotgun testing video in the notes, where he goes through all of these and tells you exactly what gun does what damage and all the nitty-gritty
details. Yeah, what it did before patch and post-patch, so that's quite good.
You know, submachine guns, their base damage has increased slightly, their precision damage has decreased slightly, so spray and pray don't have to be quite as accurate. Machine guns reduce the ammo bonus for the machine gun reserves perks by half, damage reduced against bosses and mini-boss combatants by 21%. Trace rifles, the PvE damage was increased by 30%, so go grab your Cold Heart, go grab your Prometheus lens, run some strikes, it'll be good times, you have to melt things or freeze things. Grenade launchers. We talked about grenade launchers again in the last podcast, but also there is a known issue where the starting ammo in PvE was reduced. This will be fixed in a future patch. So a little less ammo for now. They'll fix it later. And the quick sling mod can now be applied to any archetype. This change allows it to be applied to the mountaintop as well. This change also fixes the malicious birthright, being able to slot the backup mag mod. This mod did not actually increase the magazine size on the weapon and was not intended to be applied to breech-loaded grenade launchers. And we've got some individual weapons to note. The Two-Tailed Fox got a PvE buff by 26%. The 1,000 Voices got a PvE increase by 25%. The Wardcliffe Coil got a PvE damage increase by 115% against boss combatants, scaling up to 160% against weaker combatants. So, big buff to the Wardcliffe Coil in PvE. The Black Talon, PvE projectile damage increased by 15%. The Sleeper Stimulant, they removed the ammo reserves from a max of 13 down to 9 without armor perks or masterwork. Whisper of the Worm reduced ammo reserves from a max of 20 to a max of 9 without the armor perks. The Tyranny of Heaven bow can now drop with randomized perks. And we've got some general weapon and perk fixes. The Trinity Ghoul fixed an issue where Trinity Ghoul's Lightning Rod perk sometimes did not activate on precision kill. They've also fixed an issue where the arc effects from the split electron perk on Trinity Ghoul could be seen floating in third person. They fixed the resolution on the decals of the Two-Tailed Fox Cuddly Throwback Ornament when seen in third person. Fixed an issue where the last words laconic ornament did not display properly in third person. Cleaned up the animation round cycling in the magazine of the Dreaded Ventures Over and Done With Ornament. They fixed an issue with Rapid Hit, where Rapid Hit would activate twice on a sniper rifle precision kill. They've also fixed an issue where the timer for Rapid Hit times 5 would not extend until after another precision hit. Swords. Frosty will be pleased. They fixed an issue with the Whirlwind Blade, could not reach 5 stacks with certain perk combinations. They fixed an issue where Sword Impact Masterwork damage was the same at Tier 7 and at Tier 8. They've also fixed an issue where certain perk mod and Masterwork combinations would cause sword perks not to function on the Striker's Sure Hand. The Yotun, the charge shot perk description was updated with instructions on what button to hold to charge up the shot. So if you didn't know you could charge up a shot with the Yotun, now it'll tell you how to do that. Fixed an issue where the Dragonfly spec was not functioning correctly under certain latency conditions. Memento Mori, they fixed an issue where the Ace of Spades perk Memento Mori did not refresh when using the Hunter's Marksman dodge ability. They've also fixed an issue where it was canceled prematurely if the player sprinted. No running. These fixes make it so that reloading Ace of Spades no longer wipes Memento Mori on reload, but you can still refresh Memento Mori when reloading after a kill. The breach-loaded grenade launchers will now have their own icon in the kill feed and obituary to differentiate them from drum grenade launchers.
Can we have a moment of silence now for the Titan abilities that have been nerfed? You still there?
Yeah, we're having a moment of silence.
Okay, sorry.
Titans no longer super fast. And they can no longer super forever. It's a sad day to be a Titan.
It is. But after one of our podcasts where we noted a video by...
That was Esoteric.
Was it? After we linked the Esoteric video in one of our last podcasts detailing how to complete the Whisper of the Worm quest with the infinite super for the Titan, it's now been nerfed. So we have reduced Titan skating on PC using macros, and they've tuned the amount of super energy gained from Code of the Juggernaut so that the super could not be indefinitely used. So this is now diminishing returns from 100% down to 30% of the energy back over the course of 15 kills. So we've also had an issue fixed with the Warlock with a handheld supernova that it did not render properly when invading in Gambit. And that's it. There's no extra nerfs to the Hunter that we know of. Moving on to armor, the Capri's Horn. They've increased the class energy gain from the solar damage kills from 10% to 15% and reduced the cooldown from 2 to 1 second. The Solar Blast Ground Follow now returns a second ground follow back towards the player. Damage from the ground follow increased from 80 to 100. Damage from the ground follow is doubled in PvE. Vesper of Radiance. Damage increased from 70 to 100. Damage is tripled in PvE. Sealed Ahamgar Grasps now procs from smoke bomb damage. Ursa Furosa no longer counts self-damaging to Void Shield when calculating how much super energy to give back. Antaeus Wards fixed an issue where the improved slide was not consistently applying to the Antaeus Wards. Clans have changed, so the daily clan bounties have all been removed. And once again, clan XP in Season 6 can be earned by simply completing activities. Clan weekly bounties have been renamed to Hawthorne's bounties to differentiate them from the raid challenges that are also in Hawthorne's inventory. These Hawthorne bounties are organised into three fixed categories, PvE, PvP and raid. The raid challenge bounties will continue to be available in Hawthorne for the Last Wish and the Scourge of the Past raid. I suppose because they're still tied to some of the triumphs, you still need to keep those around. Some of the clan perks have been added for Season 6 and some old clan perks have been returned. So a level 2 perk, increased public event rewards. Level 3, completing a weekly Hawthorne bounty awards a mod component. Level 4, completing a clan vendor challenge awards enhancement course. Level 5, increased the drop rate of Crucible and Strike Catalyst when playing with clan mates. And level 6, unlocks an additional weekly bounty from Hawthorne. So the power cap has been raised to 700 now, and ethereal keys from the Last Wish raid now have a maximum stack of 5, and all keys that are above the stack of 5 have been removed from your inventory, so don't go looking for those because they've gone. Vendors. So Shaxx and Zavala have new emblems for players to earn in from the Triumph Collection. They've reprised shaders for players to earn from the Triumph Collection, and players who have earned the original will not need to re-earn this shader. There'll also be new pinnacle weapon quests available from both those vendors. Drifter, new seeded role weapon for players to earn via Infamy rank, new emblem for players to earn from the Triumph Collection, and a new pinnacle weapon quest. Do you want to take Xur? Because you had a couple of notes about Xur, didn't you?
Sure, yeah. So Xur now has the possibility of selling Forsaken Exotics. The Faded Engram, however, the one that you buy from Xur, does not have the chance to drop a Forsaken Exotic yet. It will be updated in a future patch. And not only does he have the possibility, he has brought, for many of us, Forsaken Exotics, because Xur showed up this week. He has brought the Trinity Ghoul for 29 Legendary Shards, the Exotic Bow, which is a Forsaken Exotic. For our Hunter friends, For 23 legendary shards, he has brought the Oathkeeper, another Forsaken exotic. For our Titans, he has brought the Ursa Furiosa for 23 legendary shards, a Forsaken exotic. And then for our poor Warlock friends, he has brought the Ophidian Aspect, which I believe made their appearance in Season 2 for 23 legendary shards. So, you know, 3 out of 4 ain't bad. Maybe next week the Warlocks will get to enjoy the Forsaken exotic Zerg goodness as well. But hey, 3 out of 4 is not bad for his first week.
Also, we have Black Armory changes. The lore items from the Black Armory papers are now guaranteed to drop upon successful completions of the Gofanon and Baguzia forges, so no longer tied to just like 2% of random drop. They've also fixed an issue with the Black Armory Obsidian Accelerated items were not showing up at the postmaster if their player's inventory was full. So activities that have been updated in 2.2.0, Gambit. Again, we covered the majority of these last week, but just to let you know, they've added Gambit private matches for all Forsaken owners, and they expect Gambit Prime private matches to be released on April the 2nd. They've overhauled how invader spawn points are chosen, while also significantly increasing the number of invader spawn points for each map. Chances of spawning very near or in direct line of sight of an enemy guardian has been greatly reduced. The Primeval is immediately summoned in the third round, and players' supers, grenades, and abilities, melees as well, are all immediately filled, so both teams are on an even playing field. And super, grenade, ability, and melee regen are also increased for the remaining of the round. Gambit matchmaking. Teams are now always broken up after re-entering the matchmaking pool after a match. Previously, when the match ended, players who did not return to orbit would be sent back into the matchmaking pool together. This will no longer be the case, and apparently this will greatly reduce the likelihood of rematching against the same players and will give matchmaking an opportunity to find the best possible match. Infamy. So players can now earn Infamy points by completing Gambit Prime matches and bounties, and they've increased the Infamy point rewards from Gambit matches by 25 points. They've updated the Gambit HUD. The HUD bar now animates when returning from the aim down sights, and the invader's portal ready icon and animation on the status bar has been updated and more pronounced and understandable at a glance.
Which is good news, because I honestly don't think I knew that there was a portal ready icon there or anything to tell me that was happening. I would hear
I think
it's
just
audio
normally
prompt,
in the feed, isn't
beyond
it?
Beyond that. Yeah, I see the feed, and he would, the Drifter would yell at me, but I didn't know there was a status anywhere else, so that's nice.
Yeah. Triumphs and medals for Gambit. Light versus light can now be progressed by killing any Guardian, not just invaders, using supers. This makes attaining Dredgen a less daunting task. The first to block medal can now trigger once per round. Previously, it could fire only once per match. The fast fill triumph limit has been increased from 5 seconds to 7.5. General fixes. So they fixed an issue where post-invasion kills during the primeval phase weren't giving the invaders credit for healing the primeval. They fixed an issue where the voiceover lines indicated the high-value target was killed and the high-value target got away. That's where both the lines would play at the same time, so that's now been rectified. And they've updated security policy and functionality so the players who have been banned from competitive activities can now access Gambit playlist. Nightfalls. The Five of Swords, and we had an issue with this week, didn't we, Parody? The Five of Swords challenge card now requires power handicap of 100 plus to begin applying a handicap score multiplier. I suppose
we sure did.
But the light changes. You've now got to adjust it even further.
Yeah, we sure did. We were trying to run a Nightfall for score, and I was taking that number up and up, and I'm getting to 100. That seems like a really high number for me to see any kind of light level increase. And yeah, sure enough, it's a bug.
So a general fix for the UI. They've added a pop-up dialogue when opening bundles. If you have a full inventory, the items will go to the postmaster if you proceed through the dialogue. So that's all the notes that we've broken down from the update 2.2.0. We'll quickly go through this week at Bungie. So some things to take note. The Drifter has moved down to the Annex. This is opposite where Ada is. His new operation is online and ready for players. To reach your full potential as a Gambit Prime teammate, follow the loop between the two challenges. Take your Gambit Prime rewards and four-person fire team into the Reckoning to earn new armor that will unlock powerful new perks, making you even more deadly when you return to Gambit Prime. So, they say, Tier 1 of the Reckoning was your first step. From here, the challenge and the rewards escalate. Tier 2 is live now, and it ups the difficulty. adding additional objectives, areas, and a new boss to battle. Tier 3 will be released on Friday the 15th of March, upping the ante one more time. So, Tier 3 is considered the endgame content. It requires a power level of 680 to enter, and it's a worthy challenge for you and all your powerful guardians as you gear up to max power level this season. The activity is set to 690, so even though you can enter at 680, it's going to be as good as a raid with how challenging it's going to be. And they recommend forming up with a fire team for your coordination, but matchmaking is still available to you if you need to. On March 12th, Gambit Prime will also feature a new map. So that would be Deep 6. I believe that's the one on Titan. And Invitations of the Nine and the Reckoning Tier 3 will be available later on in the week. So keep an eye on what the Drifter have up his sleeve. The Thorn Quest is kicking off on Tuesday, March 12th. I'm just going to put it out there now. Spoilers ahead for the Thorn Quest and both sides of the Allegiance Quest, because we'll run through those. But I will put a time in the show notes if you want to avoid these. So, Bungie say there is a mysterious spot in the EZD which holds a clue to start off your quest. So, going through the quest steps, it's called the Independent Study. And part one is a melted hunk of metal. So, you visit Banshee 44 in the tower, and that will start off your Thorn Quest. Part two is the Essence, where you have to gather Hydronic Essence by either completing Ashamir bounties on Io, defeating Warlocks in the Crucible, or completing Nightfalls. Once you've done that, part three is the steel. So you have to gather plasteel plating. And this, again, is either done by bounties from Sloan on Titan, defeating Titans in the Crucible, completing blind well runs. Part four is the binding. So this is gather sapphire wire, either doing bounties for Anabrae on Mars, defeating Hunters in the Crucible, or finishing Escalation Protocol waves. Part five is weaponizing the unknown. So this you do by defeating Guardians in the Crucible. So much like the year one version of Thorn in Destiny 1, you have to go into the Crucible using Void weapons or hand cannons. You get bonus progress for Void hand cannons, and progress in Iron Banner and competitive playlists is multiplied. Part six is Something Yet Remains. So you have to visit Tyra Khan at the farm. So just one excuse to go back to the farm this season. Part seven is the Chasm of Screams. You have to defeat Sardav and Talsha on the Titan Free Roam. So these would be the bosses that you just wander around the map you'll have to defeat. Then you have to complete the Savathun Songstrike Reprise. Likely be no matchmaking for this strike, so you'll want to keep a friend or two for help. Also, it might be one of those nightfalls where it returns you to orbit on everybody dying. There may be a burn on it as well, very similar to the Last Word quest. Data miners via LightGG, and I'll put a link in the show notes for that, have revealed two of Destiny 2 Thorn's perks. Okay, so the first is Mark of the Devourer, which rounds deal damage over time, as with the original Thorn, and drops a remnant. And the second perk is part of the dropping of the remnant. It's called Soul Devourer. And what you do is you pick up the remnant, and that increases your damage and partially refills the magazine each time you pick up one of those. So I think you saw on the Vidoc these little glowing lights of green balls where you've killed an enemy. And you can go and collect those and pick up the extra damage. So that's going to be quite good. So that ends the Thorn quest. Parody, would you like to take the Allegiance quest? So you've got Vanguard and you've got Drifter side. So do you want to start off with Vanguard?
Absolutely. So again, spoiler alert, spoiler warning. We're going to talk about the Allegiance quest. If you don't want to know, skip later on in the show. We'll put a note in the show notes about where to skip to if you want to skip over all this. But so we got the Allegiance quest. So at the same time you set off in search of Thorn, the Allegiance quest will become available. And that's the one where you'll get your choice. You'll stand with the Vanguard or you'll cast your lot with the Drifter. And again, this choice is made per character. So if you have multiple characters, you can play both sides. You can play all three on one side. It's up to you. So if you decide to side with the Vanguard, we're going to defy the Drifter and stand with the Vanguard. This decision has consequences. This character will experience different quest content and receive different rewards than characters who stand with the Drifter. The Drifter will remember your choice. This character will have complete access to the Warlock or Nora lore book. This choice may impact future content for this character. Ikora gives a praxic loyalty package for sticking with the Vanguard. So there's going to be some choices involved and some things you may or may not be able to get depending which path you choose. So now to go through this quest with the Vanguard, step one is signed, sealed, and delivered. We're going to find a terminal and we're going to use that to compose a message to Anor, our warlock friend. Step two, a message of solidarity. Find the hidden agent in the tower. which you guessed it, we're going to find a hidden agent in the tower to send my message. Step three, we're going to plant audio surveillance devices. We're going to plant wiretaps in the Drifter's annex to see what he's up to. Number four, surveillance. We're going to activate the terminal. Number five, sting operation. We're going to visit Spider and try to intercept the Drifter's package. Step six, reasonable price. Spider is going to help us for a price, so we're going to go gather some glimmer for him. Step seven, looking for a lead. The Drifter is up to something. Complete the siren song on Titan. This is an adventure where you destroy a hive crystal at the end. Step eight, the prime research, bank modes in Gambit game modes. Step nine is going to be lifeguard duty, defeat guardians in the crucible. Step 10, field maintenance, go back to the terminal. We've got a lead, head to the hangar to investigate. Step 11, bomb threat, complete mystery and potential. Here's where things get good. We're heading to the derelict. Step 12, the survival guide. Collect the Drifter's tapes. We will have some hunting to do, though. Various tapes are scattered through the EDZ patrol areas and lost sectors. Collect them all. Step 13, harsh truth. Talk to the Drifter and tell him about everything that's happened. And at that point, we will get something.
I think that's where you get the gift from Akora saying, oh, thank you for staying with us. Here's a pin. Here's a little badge to put on your robes.
Precisely. Here's your very pretty emblem you can wear proudly for doing
all. Yeah, you probably get an emblem, to be honest, yeah.
All right. So if you decided you should turn your back on the Vanguard and our Warlock friends, you could play the Drifter side, which is turn your back on the Vanguard to stand with the Drifter. This decision has consequences. The character will experience different quest content and receive different rewards than characters who stand with the Vanguard. The Drifter will remember your choice. This character will not have access to the complete Warlock Anor lore book. This change may impact future content for this character, and you will get a crew loyalty package from the Drifter for completing this quest. So, if you want to stand with the Drifter, here's what we're going to do. Step 1, black market deals. We're going to visit Spider. The Drifter wants the jerky. We're going to visit Spider to get it. Step 2, shady deal. We're going to purchase the jerky from Spider with Glimmer. Step 3, dead drop. Complete the Thief of Thieves heroic adventure on Titan. This is the one where you go through the catwalks reclaiming stolen caches. Step 4, time to regroup. Back to the Drifter. He's worried about Shin Mao 4. Time to talk to him about it. Step 5, show your strength. Defeat guardians in the crucible. Step 6, moats. Fast. Bank modes and Gambit game modes. Step 7, farm to table. Defeat Vex and Cabal strike bosses. We're going to need to gather fuel by killing Vex strike bosses and gather meat by defeating Cabal strike bosses. So we've got our Vex milk and we've got our meat. Oh, we need some potatoes from somewhere and we're all set.
Fallen potatoes.
There we go. Fallen potatoes. I love it. Step 8, Drifter's hideaway. Complete mystery and potential. Time to head to the derelict and grab a message for the Drifter. Step 9, cold feet. Visit the Drifter. Step 10, hidden messages. Collect the Drifter's tapes. He's left us some messages in the EDZ. We'll go around, collect them all in patrol areas and lost sectors. Step 11, wear this together now. Go back to the Drifter, tell him about everything that's happened, and you will receive your exciting Drifter reward, which is going to be an emblem, going to be a shader.
A target on your back from the Vanguard.
Every time you play Gambit, you'll actually be superpowered where you can't be killed by any conventional weaponry. It's going to be amazing.
We will also put a link to the Fanbyte website, which has the Allegiance quest steps and the Thorn quest steps if you want to have a read through those, because I think they've added the extra bits of text that come with it. So, moving on to Bungie Bounties. Bungie say they have 3 more streams lined up for you. We'll be doing 3 Gambit Prime Bungie Bounties over the next 3 weeks on all platforms. So, March 13th at 10 a.m. Pacific, the Xbox Bungie Bounty will go live. March 20th at 10 a.m. Pacific, the PS4 Bungie Bounty. And April 3rd, 10 a.m. Pacific, is the PC Bungie Bounty. So the rules are the same. They have to seek them out during the 2-hour bounty and defeat them, basically, in Gambit Prime.
So take your Wednesdays off of work, load up your Xbox, your PS4, and your PC in the next couple weeks, and go hunt Bungie down. Find your West Coast friends, preferably in the Seattle area. If they happen to work for Bungie, even better. Make them your fire team leader. Have them bring you in. Good luck. You're going to need it.
Again, we'll link that in the show notes if you want to go and watch that. Also, in this week at Bungie, for the 7th of March, they have put the links for the Drifter support. So you have the Destiny 2 Season of the Drifter support link, the Gambit Prime matches link, Season of the Drifter known issues, and the update to 2.2.0 patch notes. But saying that, they've also put in what they know for the known issues. So in update 2.2.0, a change was erroneously made which impacted the availability of several sources for powerful engrams and powerful rewards. In Destiny 2, specifically, weekly bounties from vendors have not yet reset for some of the players who completed them last week. Among these sources, the vendors most notably impacted are Ada 1 and Pet Revenge. It is also worth noting that players who are unable to complete these weekly bounties for Ada 1 cannot receive ballistic logs to forge her weapon frames. There is an upcoming hotfix starting at the daily reset on March 10th, so that's Sunday. So probably by the time you've listened to this, it's already gone out. Also, we'll quickly run through these. So the Korean and Polish crashes after the launch of update 2.2.0. Some players using the Korean and Polish language options encountered crashes when interacting with the Drifter. Players encountering this issue should log out and log back in to trigger an update that will resolve this issue.
Have you tried turning it off and on again? Yeah. That will fix it.
Gambit maps. To mitigate an issue where blockers were not spawning, Kell's Grave and Cathedral of Scars have been disabled in the Gambit playlist. These maps will be re-enabled when the issue is resolved. Drifter's Weapon Pursuits. We're investigating an issue where the pursuits for the Malfeasance and the Breakneck are not progressing as expected in Gambit and Gambit Prime. Acting Bad Looking Good quest. We're investigating an issue where the Acting Bad Looking Good quest is not completing when players were wearing the full Ancient Apocalypse armor set and winning a Gambit match. The Dark Age Arsenal Triumph. Investigating an issue where the Triumph is not unlocking when players win a classic Gambit match with a Gambit weapon equipped in every slot. Clan XP and Rewards. They're also investigating an issue that's preventing Gambit Prime and Reckoning from granting Clan XP upon activity completions. The Best Offense Triumph. We're investigating an issue where the Triumph, the Best Offense, which awards the Oxygen SR3, isn't counting a correct number of orbs of light generated in strike activities. Offering to the Oracle. We're investigating player reports describing the offering to the Oracle no longer being in their inventories after update 2.2.0. Powerful Rewards. I've already said, but they're also investigating reports describing that powerful rewards are dropping at lower than expected levels. I think we've both been affected by that.
We have. I've definitely gotten things where I'm going, well, it's a little higher, but it's also I've got a number of like 636 light drops.
Yeah. Stronghold Titan Exotic. We're investigating an issue where the Clenched Fist perk is not activating correctly on the Titan Exotic when the players are using the Black Talon. Crown of Tempest. We're investigating an issue where the Arc Warlock melee kills may not trigger conduction tines on the Crown of Tempest. The Vow. Apparently there's an issue where you want to infuse it up above 650. At the moment, you can't do that. They're investigating that. PC performance. They're investigating an issue where it's impacting Destiny 2's performance on PC with the latest Windows 10 update. Primevals disappearing. They're investigating an issue where the Primevals are disappearing in Gambit Prime matches, resulting in ties or incomplete matches. Practice Makes Perfect. They're investigating an issue where the Hunter Gunslinger perk Practice Make Perfect may not be acting as expected on console. Radiant Matrix Duplication. They're investigating an issue where players may sometimes receive two copies of the Radiant Matrix, resulting in one always occupying a slot in the player's inventory or postmaster. Invading with Style Bounty. Players should be aware that the Drifter's Invading with Style daily bounty must be completed by getting double kills in the Crucible, not Gambit. This is the intended behavior for this bounty. Loaded Question Ornament. They're investigating an issue where the Powerful Statement Ornament tooltip for Loaded Question says requires annual pass when it should be accessible for all players. Gender Callouts in Gambit. They're investigating an issue where dialogue from the Drifter does not recognize the Guardian's gender. Gambit medals. They're investigating an issue where classic Gambit medals earned in Gambit Prime are not appearing in the UI. Please note that these medals are still being awarded appropriately. Well, well, well. The Well, Well, Well medal. They're investigating an issue where the medal in Gambit activities does not have a name when it appears on the screen. Gambit Invader kills. They're investigating an issue where Gambit activities may mistakenly report that the player's motes are lost when they defeat the enemy invader.
That's another bug we ran into this week, didn't we, Night Demon?
Yeah. Several times. Season 5 clan banners. They're investigating an issue where the Season 5 clan banner has no title or description in it. So if you go into your clan banners, which is just below your class item, and you can scroll along to Season 5, it doesn't actually tell you what it is, but you can put it on. It looks pretty cool. So, Ghost Holograms. They're investigating an issue where the legendary Ghost Hologram, which displays subclass-based colours, always appears red when applied to the Kill Tracker Ghost. Heroic Story Mission Stats. They're investigating an issue where the post-game screen is not displaying all relevant information after completing the daily Heroic Story mission. Clan Up Triumph. They're investigating an issue where the Clan Up Triumph is unlocking for players outside of the Gambit private matches. Oh yes, we've had that one. I had that one unlocked very quickly. Did you have that one? That's the private match one.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, I have not played a private match, but okay, sure. If you want to give it to me,
I'll do it. I would have gone and played it in private, but yeah.
Yeah, that was just as confounding as the you've lost a moat. You're like, but I'm still alive. Did I use that emote where I dance around and then drop a moat on the ground that it took it to drop a real moat? So glad that they've acknowledged these things and we're not just crazy playing this game.
So for the running list of all Destiny 2 known issues, players are encouraged to visit the Destiny 2 known issues support page. Again, we'll link that in the show notes. As always, players who encounter issues should report them to the hashtag help forum. When reporting a gameplay issue, provide screenshots, capture videos, or replayable steps which help the Destiny players support investigate your report.
Volunteer moderators and other players can help answer questions.
So, since This Week at Bungie went live on the 7th of March, there has been an update to the Season of the Drifter. From the Destiny dev team, it reads, as a follow-up to reports of powerful rewards dropping at lower power levels than expected, we wanted to catch up with the current topics we're investigating and also give you an insight on our overall goals for the season endgame progression. Bungie says that there are two issues that they've been tracking, the reports of powerful sources granting plus zero rewards, and current investigations point towards this being from daily bounties being carried over from last season and being used to progress to the weekly bounties. And they're going to continue to look into this issue in case there are other examples of this happening. Also, director challenges are dropping at lower power drops than expected. So they say, we expect players to hit the minimum reward power bump at 690 power, but they've been hit at 650 instead. We have a fix ready for this issue, and we're working to ship this hotfix 2.2.0.2 sometimes after we ship next week's update. And that's the one on the 12th of March. Bungie say, as with all releases, we've updated powerful sources and added additional sources. It is our goal that the season's endgame progression takes roughly the same effort from season to season, meaning that 650 to 700 should roughly be the same as 600 to 650. Some sources are faster and some are slower, but the overall experience is expected to be comparable. Bungie say, we missed the power source tuning changes in the patch notes, and we're working to improve our patch note process for future updates. We do have an update plan to go out in 2.2.0.1 on March 12th to address several issues. Here is a preview of some of the expected fixes. So, they're going to fix an issue where the weekly bounties were reset on Sunday instead of being with a weekly reset on Tuesdays. They're going to fix an issue where the pursuits for the Malfeasance and the Breakneck were not progressing as expected in Gambit and Gambit Prime. They're going to fix an issue where the Triumph, the best offensive, which awards the Oxygen SR3, wasn't counting the correct number of orb of light generated in strikes. They're going to fix an issue where certain primevals were despawning in Gambit Prime. They're going to fix an issue where blockers were not spawning on Kell's Grave and the Cathedral of Scars, and those maps will be re-enabled when the issue is resolved. They're going to fix an issue where various Gambit quests and bounties were not progressing properly. They're going to fix an issue where Gambit activities may mistakenly report that players' moats are lost when they defeat the enemy invader. The full list of patch notes will come out with the update on the 12th of March, so stay tuned to @BungieHelp on Twitter for more information on the update to the game. So our main topic this week is brought to you thanks to Bluescreen from our clan, who I was in a conversation with, and he was saying to me that it was a bit confusing jumping into Gambit and learning all the different things, and he didn't really understand it, and I agreed with him. There wasn't really a video out there or a guide breaking down every individual thing and giving you a kind of foolproof, you know, dummies guide to how to get into Gambit Prime, what to do, how to get into the Reckoning and what to do there. So we've put together, hopefully, the best possible list that we can of how to play Gambit and the Reckoning. So I'm going to take it away with the Gambit Prime part of it, and Parody's going to go through the Reckoning. So I think the best way to start this off is to go through the initial quest that takes you into Gambit and the Reckoning. So you start off by visiting the Drifter in his new home, which is down in the Annex near Ada 1. And once you've picked up a bounty, or pick up all the bounties, the Drifter will give you a new quest. So the opening step wants you to complete a Gambit Prime daily bounty. So when you pick these up, you should notice that he has four of them to start with, and each one will reward you with synth and 50 infamy points. I recommend picking up all four as you should be able to complete at least one of these in a couple of games. Each one will correspond to a role in the game, but you might end up doing multiple roles when you first start. You've got the four different classes. You've got Invader, which is the red synth. You've got the Reaper, which is the green synth. The Collector, which is the white synth. And the Sentry, which is the yellow synth. The synths have two uses. You can use a synth to get +3 to your set bonus, and this will last for 30 minutes. Or you can use them in your synthesizer, which we'll speak about later, to create armor. So you can stack up to 20 of each synth in your inventory, and then it will start a fresh stack. So you can keep going. It won't stack it up to 100, but they'll do them in stacks of 20. So you can just keep farming them. So the next step wants you to play a game of Gambit Prime. You can do this solo, with matchmaking, or as a team. Go in, have fun, explore the new maps. For the first couple of weeks, it's just going to be one set map for the whole entire week. So you'll have time to go in and learn the new routes and the new spawns. Once all the maps have been released, then they should all go into the rotation. Once you complete the bounty, the quest will update and send you back to the Drifter. He will give you a weak moat synthesizer, which goes in your pursuits tab. So basically, each character will have to earn these to progress for each separate character. The quest will update and ask you to use your new synthesizer to create a moat from a synth. So the synthesizer starts off as a green and will create a +1 illicit piece of armor for Gambit Prime. The synthesizer is what you will use in the Reckoning game mode, and Perry will go over that a little bit more in depth later. So to create a moat, this in turn creates a piece of armor on successful completions of the Reckoning. You apply a synth of the armor color that you want to create in the synthesizer. Once you pop in the synth to create a moat, then a new option will pop up showing you that you can recycle that synth. You can recycle them at no loss of the synth, so they'll just be returned to your inventory. So if you create the wrong moat for what you want, then you can just recycle it and start again. The next part of the quest has you go and try out the Reckoning game mode and a successful completion of a tier 1 encounter. So again, you can do this solo or as a team. You can find the Reckoning game mode in the new director for the Gambit, and this is at the top of the select screen. Once in and you have gone through the portal, you'll find an area with a moat bank. You'll find a slot on the left-hand facing side of the bank as you approach, and this is the weak moat deposit point. A tip for this, if you have any raid rally flags, which can be bought from Petra in the Dreaming City for 2,500 glimmer or 5 shards, I believe it is, on the right-hand facing side of the bank, there is a circle on the floor where a raid rally flag can be placed at the start of the encounter, and this generates your full super and ammo. So if you're capped out on glimmer, buy raid flags and you can stack them up to 100 in your inventory. Once you get to 100, again, they'll start a new stack in your inventory so you can carry on with as many stacks as you like. So as I said, Parody's going to go through how to complete the Reckoning. So once you've completed a successful Reckoning Tier 1, go back to the bank and collect your rewards, which should be an illicit armor piece of the corresponding synth that you inserted at the beginning. Return to the Drifter to complete the quest, and you will have a powerful engram, and this unlocks the Gambit Prime weekly bounties and additional synth bounties. So you can pick up one of these Gambit Prime weekly bounties at a time, so choose carefully for the set that you want to collect. These weekly bounties are powerful drops and consist of going back into the Reckoning and Prime. So for the powerful bounties, you have to win 4 matches of the Reckoning with a moat deposited at the bank for each match, earn points in Prime by defeating guardians and denying moats. So with the denying moats, this can be done via others in the team invading or blockers draining moats. So it's not forcing you to be the invader and do the killing. Just go in and play, basically. Completing this bounty will unlock a second tier for your synthesizer to blue, and you will be able to create a +2 set of outlawed armor. So once you've completed your Gambit Prime weekly bounty, you can pick up another one. But there is a warning with this, because if you're not high of enough light, this can affect you going further. So on the description for the Gambit Weekly Prime Bounty, it says you must wager moats and win in the Reckoning, and these moats must be of the highest quality that your synthesizer can produce. So at the moment, there's only tiers 1 and 2, so you'll only be able to do green moats or blue moats. So at the moment, there's only tier 1 and tier 2, so you can't put a tier 2 moat in a tier 1 Reckoning encounter. Basically, you won't be able to progress past the tier unless your light is high enough to complete that relevant tier. If you've picked up a bounty, you've completed it, you've then updated your synthesizer, you've picked up another one, you'll have to go and do the next highest tier of the Reckoning. If you've then picked up a third bounty, you won't be able to do that until tier 3 opens up, and that's going to be the highest tier that you can do. So that is just a slight warning for everybody. You can still go back and put green synths into a tier 1. You can still keep playing the tier 1s and putting one moat in, or you can keep playing the tier twos and putting two moats in, but it's probably recommended to save your moats for the highest tier that's coming later on. Armor sets. You've got tier one, which is the illicit set, which is a plus one bonus on each piece. Tier two, which is the outlawed set, which is a plus two bonus on each piece. And tier three, which is the notorious set, which is a plus three bonus on each piece. So going through the four different roles that you can play in Gambit Prime, you can be a collector, an invader, a reaper, or a sentry. And with each of those, you've got four different set bonuses for your armor, ranging from plus three up to plus 15 for the highest. And that requires plus three of each bonus for each piece of your armor. So if you've completed the highest tier, tier three of the Reckoning, and got armor drops from that, your armor will be plus three on each item. And these items, if you wear a full set, will unlock the full set of perks that you get for playing in Gambit Prime. Going to go through the four different bonuses for each role that you can play, starting with the collector. Inheritance, you drop a portion of your carried motes on death, and this requires the collector plus three. Umbral armor, which is rapidly picking up five motes grants an overshield, and that requires a collector of plus six. Cashback, gain kinetic and energy ammo whenever you bank, and that requires a collection of plus 10. And then the highest perk that you can get on the collector set is high yield savings. You can carry up to 20 motes, and this enables you to send a giant blocker to the enemy team. Moving on to Invader, Assassin's Munitions. So while invading, ammo slowly trickles into your kinetic and energy weapons over time, and that requires a plus 3 on your Invader. Lethal Defense grants an improved invasion overshield, which requires plus 6 on your armor. Killmonger, each guardian defeated while invading grants bonus once you've returned to your own area, and that requires a plus 10 on your armor. And then you have the top perk, which is Bank Robber. So invading locks the enemy's bank. As long as you stand near the bank, it locks it and drains moats, and this requires plus 15 on your armor. Moving on to Reaper, High Value Tracker. Damaging a high-value target or non-primeval ultra marks it and weakens it for all allies, and that requires plus 3 Reaper on your set. Pinata of Death. Rapidly defeating multiple combatants drops special ammo for allies, and this requires a plus 6 on your armor. Long-lasting Flavor. Motes you generate have an increased lifetime, and that requires a plus 10 of Reaper on your armor. And your top perk is Major Rewards. Defeating powerful enemies grants a temporary surge in grenade energy recharge rates, and that requires a plus 15 on your armor. And then finally, Sentry, Umbral Strike. Multi-kills grant a damage buff against taken clears when you damage a taken combatant, and that stacks up to 5 times, and that requires a plus 3 on your Sentry. Safe and Sound, standing near the bank triggers health regeneration, that requires plus 6 Sentry. Invader Tracking, damaging an invader marks them for your teammates, and that requires a plus 10 of Sentry. So the top tier perk for Sentry is Light of the Defender. You and your nearby allies are granted a maximum resilience, mobility and recovery while standing in the Well of Light. And that is the plus 15 perk on Sentry armor. Collecting synths. There are many ways that you can actually get synths in the game. So playing the game and completing the games of Gambit Prime will get you a random synth for a maximum of up to 5 synths per match. I think that depends on whether you win or lose. Completing daily bounties in Gambit Prime, and completing daily bounties from the Drifter in other game modes. You can also get a random drop of the synth in Gambit Prime gameplay. Each synth has two ways of being earned, so far that we know of, in game. And at the moment, these are the ones that have been found out by the community. So you can earn a sentry synth by killing enemy invaders quickly or multi-kill blockers. Earn a collector synth by banking 51 plus motes. Not 100% sure on the other ways as yet. You can earn a Reaper synth by doing the most damage to the high value targets, or it might be earned by getting the Massacre medal. We're not 100% sure in the community as yet. Earn an Invader synth by killing all four players in a single invasion. Not 100% sure which of these ones is the second, but it could be all of them. There could be more than just one for each role. So I'll go through these. Killing all moat holders in a single invasion before anyone deposits. Killing a player with 15 or denying 20 plus in a single invasion. The synths at the end of the game seem to be based on what you focused on during the gameplay. Again, the community could be wrong, but it seems to be working out that way with a lot of people reporting that on Reddit. Also, when you've done those earning a synth, you also have a chance at getting a curated role Gambit Prime weapon. And there are four weapons that you can get. The weapons are tied to earning the synths from doing the job roles. and they drop mid-match at the same time as obtaining the synths. So earn the invader synth and you have a chance at the curated role of sniper to drop. Earn the sentry synth and you have a chance at the curated shotgun to drop. Earn a collector synth with a chance at the curated hand cannon to drop. And earn the reaper synth with a chance at the curated SMG to drop. Again, these all have new perks and there's a lot of things to go over. I will link a Houndish video on the curated roles and the new perks in the game because he explains it a little bit better than me. So breaking it down, Gambit Prime is a one-round match. You have to go around, kill as many enemies as you can, grab the motes and deposit them. A bit like the original Gambit mode, but it is just the one round. Once you get to the 100 motes deposited, you'll summon the Primeval. So once you summon your Primeval, it will be shielded and you won't be able to do any damage to it. What will also happen is two envoys will spawn somewhere on the map and they'll be highlighted with a red diamond above each of them and there'll be two of them to start off with. Go and find those and kill them. Once you've done that, a third one will pop up. Go, kill that. There'll be a pool of light that pops up out of the ground. Stand in that and that's where you can do extra damage to the boss. Because if you're not standing in that well of light, you don't get the extra damage buff on the boss. And it looks like you're basically doing no damage to them. That's basically how you kind of DPS the boss. He'll go down in different stages. So once you've done enough on that initial damage run, again, two envoys will spawn somewhere on the map. Run, go kill them, then defeat the third one, stand in the well, and shoot the Primeval. With all that going on, you'll also have invaders coming to invade you. You may also have the other team spawning blockers, so this also causes an issue. So just make sure that you're focusing on what you need to focus on to take out the blockers or take out the envoys or focus on the primeval. I mean, you'll get a feel for how the game plays after you've got into it a couple of times. But that's kind of the basics of it. It's very much similar to the original Gambit. And as you progress through the game modes and you acquire the different pieces of armor and you get into those different roles, you then will find what works best for you. So that's Gambit Prime and how to play that mode. Parody is going to run you through doing the Reckoning game mode.
So the Reckoning Tier 1, you've been playing that for a week. You've been having fun with that, hopefully jumping in and trying to get those armor sets together to figure out what kind of Gambit Prime player you want to be. The Reckoning Tier 2 dropped on Friday, March 12th. And the light level went from the Reckoning Tier 1 of 650 and now up to 670 for Tier 2, which I'm not at yet. I'm barely at 661 myself. I went in a little bit this morning, and it's rough. If you're playing an activity 10 or so levels below where you need to be, it's gonna be a bit of a grind. So I went in with a group of blueberries, and so we all four happen to be Titans, because Titans are where it's at. And I can't say we had a lot of success. We got to the fourth ring a couple times, but never made it to the end to actually see if we could complete the activity and use our middling moat to get a good reward out of it. So after I ran and jumped into it, I looked up a couple videos. Rick Kakis has a great video called The Reckoning Guide, beat Tier 1 and 2 easy, where he goes all over the mechanics, he goes over some builds, and there are a couple other videos we'll link in the show notes, just giving you an idea of what you're in for, what you should look for, and how to get through The Reckoning 2 and how to have a good time. So before you start, check the modifiers. Before you build your loadout, pop up open Tier 2 or Tier 1 and see what the modifiers are. Is it a solar singe? Is it heavyweight? Is it glass? Is it brawler? Is it prism? See what's going on. That'll give you some idea of how to build your character in order to have some good success here. Because really the goal with Tier 2 is you want to chain supers as much as possible. And what does that mean? Basically, you want to generate as many orbs as possible, kill as many ads as possible as quickly as you can, and then feed your team so they can use their supers. Now, how do you get through Tier 2? What is it? What's the deal with it? So if you've played Tier 1, you jump in, you kill a bunch of ads, you succeed at the end. Tier 2 is basically that and then more. So Tier 2, first thing you're going to do, just like Tier 1, put in your little moat to the bank. Moat is optional. You don't have to wager a moat, but you're also not going to get the rewards if you don't. So wager your moat in the bank. If you've got one, it is going to require two of the synths to make a middling moat, whereas it only needed one synth to make a weak moat. So if you need some more moats, go play Gambit Prime, get some moats, put them in the bank, get your middling moats, because it's at Tier 2 now. Once you put those in the bank, the same thing as before, the big giant hole is going to spawn a portal, jump into that portal, you're going to be down right in the same area where you were before. Ads are going to be a little bit harder, they're going to be a little angrier, it's 670 light now. So again, run around, clear the map as much as possible. Use the same tactic you used for Tier 1, pick up heavy, clear the maps, get rid of everybody on there. Once you finish that first section, your timer's going to stop. So run around, pick up all the heavy, pick up all the orbs, see what you can find around the area, because you're going to move to the next section, which is that part from the Vidoc video of that long straight stretch of ogres and thrall and everything coming to kill you Taken style. It's going to be very similar to the raid mechanic from Crota's End in the lantern section, where there's tons of adds coming at you, and instead of running from lantern to lantern, you're basically moving your way up the Bridge of Folly from circle to circle. It's, you know, it's a big circle capture point. So what you're going to want to do is, again, as you work your way up the hill, you're going to be inundated by adds. There's going to be snipers. Basically, you're going to work your way up and capture each point and then try to hold off the onslaught of enemies until you get there. As you move up the bridge, there's 6 capture points. After you've captured the 6th point, again, your timer will stop and you'll be able to jump down and face the 2 knights, which are the end boss. Now, again, the whole time you're clearing these capture points, you've got a timer running, and each time you successfully get through a capture point, your time gets extended. So it is a speed game. And you've got to clear the adds, but you've also got to stand in those points and keep as much as your team alive, because the more of you there are, the quicker it seems to capture. Now, once you get past the 6th one, you're going to jump into the portal, and 2 big knights are going to spawn. And these aren't normal knights. These are our big knight friends from the Sunless Cell of the Haunted Forest. In the Haunted Forest, we called our friend Chad, because it was easier to say, "Hey, Chad's here, run," than "the knight's here." That's what we did. Did you guys name your knight? Anyway, so Chad will be there. He'll bring a friend. There are going to be 2 of them. You can't damage them immediately. What you're going to do is look for an ad called the Hermit. He's going to have a blue icon over his head. Locate him, kill him first. Once you do, a well of light's going to spawn, very similar to when you fight the primeval and take down that 3rd primeval envoy in Gambit Prime. Once that light spawns, again, stand in the well of light, you're going to get a buff of damage, you're going to get some protection, just like, again, the primeval in Gambit Prime. If you've done this, it's the exact same mechanic. You're going to want to DPS those knights as much as possible. Hit them with your heavy, hit them with your super, you know, melt them down as quick as you can. If you don't melt them in the first go, the knights will come towards you, jump over the knights. If you try to run around the knights, they'll lunge and kill you with those axes, just like they did in the Sunless Cell, just like they did in the Haunted Forest. So jump over the knights, because they can't lunge upward to get you. And then once you kill those 2 knights, you return to the top, you go see the bank, and you receive your, you know, hopefully armor piece that you're looking for. Now, let's talk about a little bit of strategy for Tier 2 Reckoning. So basically, weapon-wise, you're going to want to look at anything that is good at taking out large groups of enemies, or single-shotting things far away. That being said, the bow and the sniper rifle, not going to be great here, because there's just too many adds and too many taken thrall coming at you to have a lot of time to line up those shots. You're going to get flinched, you're going to get overwhelmed quickly. So if you've got a Yotun, if you've got a Telesto, those are great for ad clearing. The Yotun, also good for the snipers, if you've gotten it to drop for you. The Wardcliff Coil, great for clearing out adds, and also great for single DPS damage on the boss. Be careful, though, because, again, with all the Taken Thrall running at you and all the witches flying around, you may kill yourself quite often with it. Legend of Acrius, also a good choice. Rocket launchers with the buff are quite good. Machine guns, you know, again, look at what the singe is going to be. If it's Arc, run your Thunderlord. If it's Solar, run your Avalanche. If it's Void, run your Hammerhead. Again, does great single enemy damage, as well as just for clearing adds. Just clear those adds out. The couple times, you know, I've run it, it's been Prism, so that rotation around, you can really see that damage buff or that damage decrease depending which prism cycle you're on. But yeah, you know, again, match your loadout to what you're running and you're gonna do more damage with it. And then finally, let's just talk about a couple of builds. You know, Rick Hackus has a couple of great examples in his video. Basically, if you've got a favorite build you use to generate orbs, which by this point you probably do from Gambit or Gambit Prime or the Raid or whatever, use your favorite orb generating build. If you don't have one you like, or if you're saying, "Hey, you know, I'm new to this, maybe I just got up to the power level," what do you recommend? So if you're going to run a Titan, as you should be, the Ursa Furiosa is a great one to use with that shield, because you're just going to pop out orbs, because again, you're getting hit by witches, snipers, Taken Thrall all over the place. You're going to be an orb generation machine. The Doomfang Pauldron, also a good choice if you're running Void. Because again, it's going to extend that super out every time you get a kill. And again, you're in a target-rich environment. You're going to get kills. For the Sunbreaker Titans, match that with your Syntheseps, because you're always going to be surrounded by enemies. And really, almost any of these builds with Syntheseps are going to be great, Arc or Sunbreaker. For the Defender Titans, your Ursas or your Doomfangs are going to do you more good. But yeah, if you're running Sunbreaker, throw those Syntheseps on. It's just going to buff that damage. It's going to buff all the damage you're doing, because again, you're always surrounded. Your hammers are going to do more damage. Your throwing hammer is going to be great. You know, you're going to be able to put out a ton of damage. I haven't tried with an Arc Titan yet. I don't know, since they nerfed the sort of infinite super kills on that bottom tree Arc Striker Titan, I don't know if it's going to be quite as valuable, but still, you can generate a ton of orbs and clear some space with it. The The only problem with that is you're running, you know, you're on a bridge. It's sort of a long, skinny place. It's real easy to lunge yourself off that bridge or throw yourself off that bridge with a fist of havoc. So be careful with that. There are no handrails. We'll call OSHA. We'll get it sorted. If you're running a hunter, your tether and your Orpheus rigs, again, tether enemies, they're in a small environment. They're running at you either from the front or the back. Create a ton of orbs from your team. Blade Barrage for the Shards of Galanor. Arc Staff with the Radiant Flux. Again, anything that will extend that super route or generate more orbs for your team is what you're going to look for. Warlocks, you've got a lot of great options too. Run your Well of Radiance with your Phoenix Protocol, which will give you, you know, any killer assist made in that gives you the super energy. Lunafaction Boots, reload your allies' weapons. My favorite build at the moment, the Skull of Dire Amonkhar, which didn't get a nerf. For the Warlocks, running the Slova Bombs. It's basically infinite Nova Bombs. There's so many things around. You're killing 6, 7, 8 adds. You're dropping, you know, 5, 6 orbs every single time you do it. And you have basically infinite Supernova Bombs. It's a lot of fun. Again, Chaos Reach with the Geomag Stabilizers. Get that 8 seconds on the Chaos Reach. Or running the, Tickle Fingers Warlock. Basically, again, anything you can clear adds with. Anything you can do a bunch of damage and drop orbs with. Like I said, I've only played about 2 rounds of the new Tier 2 Reckoning, so I'm excited to jump back into it, and let us know, what build are you guys using? What weapons have you found works? What's that, you know, what's the strat that you've enjoyed? Let us know what you find out there.
So a couple of things that's come up in the community since the initial launch of Season of the Drifter. So something to take note, at the moment you can't upgrade a Tier 1 illicit set to a Tier 2 or a Tier 3. Neither can you upgrade the Tier 2 set, the Outlawed set, up to a Tier 3. Best advice that we can give you, or the best tip that we can give you so far, is to save your synths past the initial times that you've had to use it to upgrade your synthesizer and use it in the Reckoning to create the armor pieces. Because the further you progress, the more synths that you'll need. And at the moment, the Notorious set is looking that it's going to be plus 3 bonus, will probably require a 3 synth per deposit for each armor piece. So you're probably going to have to play a lot of Gambit Prime to get enough synths to then go into the Reckoning Tier 3 to generate your armor pieces. And they're not all going to be perfect rolls to start off with, so it's best to do the farming of your Gambit Prime and then go back into your Tier 3. Another tip for Gambit Prime is if you kill the 2 envoys and wait, just wait a little bit, because around that time you normally get an invader come in, and if you do that, that'll give you enough time to either kill the invader or have them leave. You can then down the 3rd envoy, have the pool of light, and have enough DPS time to focus on the boss. Or in reverse, wait until they're in the DPS phase so you can see that health bar going down before you invade. Another tip for you, there are taken mods that you can apply to your armor, which you can get from chests in the Last Wish raid, and they give you heavy ammo drops on taken kills. So an example of this is taking armaments, and it gives you a chance to grant heavy ammo to the reserves on a grenade kill. So that's something to be looking out for if you're doing the Last Wish raid, or you've got a stack of them just in your inventory. So another sneaky tip for you for Gambit Prime. If you're in a team, probably best to coordinate by letting 2 people pick up all the motes from the first wave, and that allows your first invasion to be done while you've got 2 large blockers draining the opponent's bank. Bit sneaky, bit harsh, but it works, and it's worth trying it. A tip for the Reckoning, you can deposit your moat any time before the end of the Reckoning encounter. You don't have to just do it at the beginning. And you can also play the Reckoning without depositing. So if you just want to go in there and help your friends, you don't have to deposit a moat every time that you play. You can still make green armor when you've upgraded your synthesizer to blue. As long as you're playing in the Tier 1, you can still deposit your green armor and get that. There are modifiers in the Reckoning, and each day seems to rotate round with different modifiers. But saying that, the burn seems to be the same for the week. So this first week, we seem to be on a void burn. So hopefully solar or arc in the following weeks. We have a couple of public service announcements for you at the end of the show. I'm going to link a couple of videos for you. One is how to DPS the Primeval boss in Gambit Prime on the second wave, and that's by GLAAD. And the second one is an easy farm for enhancement cores using the Spider and Brother Vance, and that's by Sweaticles. And again, I'll link those in the show notes. There is also a new emblem which is available from the Bungie store for purchasing anything that is not tied to the Bungie rewards, and this is called First to the Wild. Again, I'll put a link in the show notes for that. And I think that may be the end of the show.
Yeah, thank you everyone. We've had about you know, a little over 200 downloads. And I assume if you're downloading, you folks are also listening to us over the last six or so episodes. Yeah. Again, thank you very much. It means a lot to us. We got our, you know, first email question a couple episodes ago. This has been a blast to sit here and, you know, speaking to a microphone sitting in our houses. It's even more of a blast to know that someone out there somewhere is caring and listening to us. So, hey, I enjoy it. I dig it. I'm glad you guys are enjoying it. If you've got any feedback for us, things you'd like to see, things you're tired of seeing, if you need more Warlocky goodness, more Hunter goodness, less Titan, which is never going to happen because all Titans are all things. Yeah. Drop us a comment. Let us know. You can find us. We can find you. And let's have fun out there. It's a game. We're all here to play it. We're all here to have a good time. And thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Your Titans this week have been Parody and Night Demon. Your Hunter is No One Responds in Real Life and No Presence on Social Media. You please email the show at 2TitansAndAHunter@hotmail.com. You can find us at 2Titans_Hunter on Twitter. We're on Facebook at 2TitansAndAHunter-Gobbledygook. Use the search. To join the Frozen Clan and share a sandwich with us, you can go to join.frozen.party or look us up on the Bungie website. We are 2Titans and a Hunter on YouTube. You can find us on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Overcast, all the casts. You can go to 2TitansAndAHunter.podbean.com to find links to the show, to find our show notes, to find how to subscribe to us. Listen to us every week. Enjoy yourselves. As always, this has been 2Titans, 1Hunter, and loads of Destiny fun and content. Until next week.